This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Mark Eby, President, CEO, Kansas Humane Society. Welcome to Issues 2019.
Well, thank you for having me back. I think this is second or third time I've been here, maybe.
I believe it's number two.
So I appreciate you guys talking to us and letting me talk about the Humane Society. I always love coming in and telling everybody what a great job we're doing. So
how long have you been at the Humane Society?
I am in my sixth year, believe it or not. It's amazing how quickly it's gone. I love what I do. I love the staff, the volunteers, everybody who helps us out with donations. It's just an incredible place to do and accomplish what we accomplish every single day. You know, we're open 7 days a week, basically 355 days a year. So it's a lot of work, but it's truly a labor of love for
You've
everybody.
You've just answered my first 8 questions.
Sorry.
What did you do before that?
I was at Big Brothers Big Sisters
That's
for
right.
7 years before that.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, does the KHS have a mission statement?
We do. It's to help all of the animals in Wichita that are either homeless or looking for homes and provide services for people for their animals as well. That's one of the things we've really shifted to in the last couple of years is making sure that we provide services for everybody who already has a pet. So we have a store there where people can come in and shop. We now have a full-time groomer where you can actually get your animal groomed with us. We have training classes for people, and it's a great place to come in and look for an animal, too. We also offer birthday parties for kids, all kinds of activities for kids. We have companies that come in there and have
And now
their,
you've answered my
I'm sorry. I'm just love talking about the place. So,
you do.
You know, it really is a place. We want it to be a one-stop resource for everybody and have it be the first place that they come. And the great part about it is any money that you spend there stays to help more animals. That's the best part about it.
So you're friendly to the two-legged animals as well, then?
Absolutely. I mean, I want to make it – one of our goals has always been to make the Humane Society a family-friendly place for kids to be able to come in, for adults to be able to come in. And even if, you know, if it's snowing outside and you can't go out to the zoo or can't go to a petting zoo or something somewhere, come to the Humane Society and you can browse around for animals there and maybe even hold a cat, hold a dog, if that's what you're really into, and hang out with them for a little bit.
Now, can you share with us your annual budget and how you pay the bills?
Sure. Our annual budget is about $3.8 million. And about half of our income comes from the services that we provide. So the adoptions that we do, a dog now is $180, a puppy is $250, a cat is pick your price, and a kitten is $75. And everybody always asks us why we charge for those animals. Well, we do that to help us offset some of our budget, but that only gets us to about half of our number. So $1.9 million comes from that, the surgeries that we do, the training classes, things like that. The other half comes from donors, directly from donors. So about $1.9 million a year come from special events or donations. We just got done having a concert over at the Wave. We do Wolfstock every year, which is the first Saturday in October. That's our big fundraiser. And then donors that come in and make a donation to us because they know how important it is to help animals in our community.
You've just answered questions number 12 through 15.
We're just going to fly through this, aren't we? Okay.
We can go home early on this one. So how many employees do you have, Mark?
I now have 60 full-time employees and about 8 or 9 part-time employees. We've hired a third vet, which was a big step for us. So now I have 3 full-time vets that do surgeries 7 days a week. We do between 30 and 40 spay-neuter surgeries every single day. We adopt out an animal about every 17 minutes that we're open. So if you think about that, as the day goes through, you have to be able to replace those animals with new animals. So they all have to have a spay-neuter surgery. They all have to have a microchip. They all have all their shots except for a rabies vaccination when they leave our facility. And we do that. We don't give the rabies vaccination because we want you to visit a vet when you first leave. So we want you to go get initial consultation with a vet, have a rabies vaccination, and that's all you really have to do once you leave. And usually those are $10 or $20.
How many animals do you help during a year?
Last year we helped 15,999. We were one short of 16,000, which was an all-time record for us. That includes all the animals that we did surgery on for the outside. We do approximately 10 surgeries a day for people that are low income. They can bring their dog or cat into us and have a cat spayer neutered for $60, a dog spayer neutered for $85. Then we adopted out 11,204 animals. And that means that our save rate last year was up to about 94%. And that was an all-time record too. So when I first started there 6 years ago, our save rate, which means the percentage of live animals that went out with a live outcome, was around 72%. When we moved into our building 10 years ago, it was in the 50s. So that's how much we've improved in 10 years and in 5 years.
The other half of the other percentage is those that have to be euthanized?
Have to be euthanized, yeah. And we still do that.
So when you get to 90%, that's pretty darn good.
Anything above 90% really is considered a no-kill shelter by every means. We don't call ourselves that because we still have to euthanize animals. And we will always be that way because we are an open admission shelter, which means that we take every animal that comes into us if somebody can't care for it, no matter what it's done, no matter what health condition it's in. I do have people bring me animals that are 19 years old that are in horrible health, but they don't want to make the decision to put them down. And in that instance, with those animals, in most cases, it's better just to put them down and have them have a good ending like that, rather than having them let go out in a field to freeze to death, get eaten by an animal, something like that.
To be suffering more.
Exactly. Yeah. Running the street. So let's just talk about if there was a dog that attacked a kid in your neighborhood and they brought it into us and we said, no, we can't adopt that animal out, so we're not going to take it. That animal more than likely is going to get let go in your neighborhood and attack again. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that to happen. So we feel like part of our mission is to help the city and our residents here by making sure that those animals that are a menace to our citizens aren't back out on the streets.
Now, when my kids were growing up, we used to come down and visit your facility down there on K-15.
That was time ago, Steve.
It was,
no offense.
It was not a terribly pleasant place
It wasn't.
Talk about your new facility. I say new. You've been there how long? You say
10 years. 10 years. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary on June 22nd. The new facility is fabulous, especially when you compare it to the old facility. But I go around the country and tour other facilities, and Wichita has a world-class facility. We have a nicer facility than Omaha, Kansas City. Oklahoma City doesn't even have a facility. Fort Worth, Dallas, and Denver are nicer than us, but they've spent over $40 million on their facilities each. Ours was $9.5 million when we built it 10 years ago. It's completely paid off, which was great. We fundraised it all and raised and paid for it ourselves. We received no city money, no county money, no federal money, nothing from the United Way, and that's okay. We want them to fund agencies that are important to their organizations. We have been able so far to make sure that we can meet our budget every single year, and that's a great part of what we do.
We know you care for dogs and cats. What other animals have you helped out there?
Well, we have some rabbits every once in a while, especially right after Easter. We'll get about 10 or 20 rabbits a week or two after Easter.
Chickens?
No chickens. We don't take any farm animals. They do next door, Wichita Animal Services, the city-run shelter. We have rats, guinea pigs, hamsters, gerbils. Occasionally, we'll get some parrots, things like that in. We've had sugar gliders, hedgehogs, all that kind of stuff. So anything that's a small mammal, considered a small mammal, we usually try and do. We don't do reptiles, anything like that.
No reptiles.
Thank goodness. I am not a snake person
at all. I don't consider
them.
No, I don't. They're like a mistake.
My staff makes fun of me and does things to me all the time because they know my fear of snakes, and it's just I don't know. I know
so
it's
have
irrational.
Ever found a rubber snake in your office?
Yes, many times, and in my car and outside my door, it happens all the time because they know I have an irrational fear of snakes.
Does anybody ever drop some plastic dog do in your office?
Not yet. That has not happened, and I hope that we've had the real thing though, Steve. And when you have dogs in your office all day long, and we allow our employees to bring their animals in, occasionally you
get the real thing.
You can't let them out in time, and they have to go.
Not a novelty.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
All right, let's focus on dogs for a minute. Okay. How many dogs do you deal with in a year's time?
We usually have between 6,000, around 6,000 dogs and 6,000 cats. It's usually pretty close 50-50 percentage that we have. Those animals come to us in two different ways. We get them from Wichita Animal Services, which is the dog catcher, for lack of a better term. Yeah. They're picking up strays and taking in strays. We pull over around 6,000 animals from them every year. And then another 6,000 come in from people that are relinquishing their animal to us, that they can no longer care for it. And we take that animal. We try and provide them services. And last year, we were able to get around 800 people to keep their animal with the services that we provided. So maybe they needed some food. Maybe they needed some medical that we were able to do ourselves. Maybe they needed some training. We were able to provide that for them, and they kept their animal. So that's a big part of what we do as well.
What's the procedure for adopting out dogs and cats?
People come in and you look around, you fill out a form when you first get there that tells what kind of person you are, what kind of personality you have, and what kind of animal you're looking for.
Wait a minute.
What?
You're screening the two-legged ones?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, a couple of different ways. So when an animal comes in too, we look at what kind of personality it is. So if you're a person that likes to sit around on the couch, I don't want to match you with a one-year-old lab. Because that dog doesn't like to sit around on the couch very much.
Okay.
We'll try and put you maybe with something that tends to be a little less active, maybe a smaller animal. So we ask them a series of questions, say, what are your interests? What kind of animal are you interested in? Then we try and match them with animals that are matching to that preference. And, you know, sometimes they don't want that, and that's okay. We'll let them adopt a different kind of animal if they want that. But we try and make the best match possible. Our return rate is only about 8%, which is below the national average. Usually the national average is around 10%. So I think we do a really good job with trying to get people with the right animal.
Do you advise all dog and cat owners to have their animals neutered? I think you probably
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a requirement for every animal that goes out of the Humane Society. We've got so many unwanted animals in this city right now that it's a huge problem, and especially kittens and especially pit bull puppies. Mm. Those are the two biggest problems that we have in our city. And actually, it's illegal to breed pit bulls in the city of Wichita. So anything over 6 months is required to be spay or neutered, and you're not allowed to breed pit bulls at all. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. And it's a problem. I mean, there are still people that do it kind of behind the scenes, and I know the city is trying to do as much as they can to enforce it, but you know there are so many people out there that are doing it. Last year, we got around 1,500 kittens into our facility in the summertime, and that's just overwhelming. I mean, you can't care for 1,500 kittens.
How many country, and maybe you don't have this figure, but how many dogs and cats do you think are euthanized in this country?
You know, I don't know that number off the top of my head. I can give you some statistic for us.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I can tell you, the first year that we moved into that building, we euthanized around 7,300 animals. Last year, that number dropped down to 694. So that's how much we've changed in 10 years. And it's really due to people coming and adopting. I know that culture has changed. When my parents were looking for an animal when they were younger, everybody went to a breeder back then. Now I think a younger population, and I'm 50, and people my age or younger tend to go to a shelter first, and I think that's fabulous. I mean, shelter pets are great, and a lot of times they don't have the inbreeding that some breeders do where you get bad animals at times. So we really promote that. We get different types of animals. We don't necessarily ever adopt out anything that has papers that's a purebred, but we get animals in there that you would swear are purebred animals.
You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Mark Eby, President, CEO, Kansas Humane Society. Tell us about cats. Did you just mention how many cats you get every year?
It's about 6,000
as well. About 6,000. Yeah. 6,000 yep. Dogs, 6,000 cats.
Yes, okay. And you know a few hundred of the other animals. The cats, like I said, are the issue with them is kittens more than anything else. Kitten mortality rate is really high. If people don't know, about 50% of kittens pass away.
Mm.
And there's just nothing you can do, even if you're caring for them and doing everything they can, especially if mom's not with them. So one of the things we encourage people to do is if you find a litter of kittens, like on your balcony or somewhere under your deck or something, wait a couple of days and see if mom is there with them. Because if you bring that litter of kittens into us and mom isn't with them, their mortality rate goes up dramatically. Whereas if you can get mom and the kittens together and you want to get them off your property, then that's a much better outlook and opportunity for those kittens.
And a couple of years ago, my wife and I spent some time in Athens, Greece.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever been there.
I have never been there.
But just walking around in Athens, the feral cats are everywhere.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's true of other European cities or not. But are feral cats a big problem in Wichita?
They, you know, I guess it, how we, you define I problem.
I can,
you know?
I can say three of them in our block in our neighborhood.
Yeah, they are a problem. When they're a nuisance, they're a problem. When they're not a nuisance and they're doing things that help our community, which is mice, snake control, things that like that, they aren't a problem. So one of the things that we've talked about a lot in this city is trap, neuter, release, which means catching those feral cats, spay and neutering them, and releasing them back. What happens when you do that is you've got a community of, let's say, eight cats, feral cats that are living together. When you remove one of those cats and you euthanize it, another cat comes into that community. So they always have eight. That's how they like to, I mean, there's a standard that they like to keep. So if we are spay and neutering those animals and returning them, you don't get those unneutered and unspay or neutered animals returning to that area or filling in for that void. And so that's one of the things I've really been out there trying to investigate. Houston has a trap, neuter, release ordinance. I think Omaha has one. I know Lawrence and Salina and Topeka all have trap neuter ordinances. So it's one of the things that we're somewhat behind here. And I think in the next year, you'll probably see something come out that talks about trap neuter release and trying to reduce that population down. You know, there's always the question of, well, they kill birds. They kill things that are in your community that you don't want them to kill. Well, they're going to be there either way. I would rather have them spay or neutered so that they're not reproducing and not creating more animals.
What do you say to pet owners about pet care during the hot weather? It just recently started to get hot in here.
Sure,
and,
sure.
What do you think about that?
Well, obviously, never leave your animal in a car. That's a big part of what we deal with in Wichita. People like to take their animals. They think they're going to have a good time. They leave them in the car, and it gets boiling hot in there within minutes. Some of them will leave the car running, but I will caution you, cars die, things happen, and if that happens, your animal is going to die. So we always encourage people, leave your animals at home. If they have to stay outside, make sure they always have fresh water, make sure they have shade, make sure they have a cool area to go to. When you bring them in, make sure that you're not trying to run them around and get all kinds of energy out, because a lot of times if they've been outside, they're already heated up and hot. They want to just lay down and cool off and rest. And grooming, you know, a big part of it is grooming. Brushing your animal, taking it to a groomer to get its hair cut is important, because this time of year we all like to have short hair. I mean, all of us get that summer cut. You get a summer cut every year, right?
Yes, I do. Whatever there is.
You said it, not me.
I get both of them cut. So, does the Humane Society offer any training programs for pets and pet owners?
We do. We do. We offer puppy training classes. We offer animals that have any kind of dog-to-dog aggression, which is group training. We offer one-on-one training. Our trainer, Courtney Street, is fabulous. She's been there almost 3 years now. And she offers classes, different classes, just about every single night for people. They're weekly. So you come to the Humane Society, bring your animal with you. You're interacting with other people and other animals. And it's a great way, again, to support the Humane Society, because the money stays right there to help other animals.
We did take one of our dogs to puppy kindergarten or whatever it was, and it seemed to be helpful. But the main thing is, how do we train him to be house trained?
Patience is the best thing.
What's the key to that?
Praise when they go outside and they do the right thing outside, praising them. I mean, we always encourage to not do negative training in any way.
Oh, no.
So it's more about praising when they go outside, making sure that when they do the correct thing, that you're there to give them a treat, there to praise them, tell them how good they do. They recognize that, and eventually they'll learn. Immediately after feeding or after getting a big drink, take them outside, because most animals will want to go to the bathroom right after those two things.
Really?
So if you feed them in the morning, you know, let them outside to go potty the first thing in the morning, then feed them, then take them outside and let them go poop. And that's the best thing to do. And they learn a routine, too, and their bodies get in a routine.
Giving us $1 million worth of advice right there. I'll tell you, that rolled-up newspaper didn't work on my kids.
That won't work. No.
How How about education for young people? Field trips to the Kansas Humane Society. You do anything like that?
We do. We do some incredible things.
I just think that would be a great field trip.
Oh,
I don't
think any of
my grandkids have ever been there.
Exactly. So. Last year, we interacted with around 19,000 kids in Sedgwick County. So we go out to schools, actually, and do presentations in classrooms. Then we also have classes that come into the Humane Society and tour the facility. During the summertime or whenever USD 259 is closed, we have Critter Camp. Which is camp for kids to come in and learn about animals, learn how to be around animals, interact with animals. We have week-long classes during the summertime. Some of them even have scholarships available. So if you're lower income or you don't think you can afford it, call us. We have about 100 scholarships available that reduce the cost down to $25. So it's a great way for kids to come and get involved. Once a month on Friday nights, we do what's called Furry Film Friday. We actually show a movie and provide pizza. And mom and dad can go out for a couple of hours, and it's a great way for kids to come in, learn about animals, watch a movie with us, have some pizza, and mom and dad don't have to worry about a babysitter.
Just go back to, if you will, the training, the once a week or whatever you want to try. Is there a charge for that?
There is. There is a charge for it. It's usually between $99 and $139 for 6 to 8 weeks, depending on how long the class is. So it's very economical. We try and compete and stay competitive with everybody else in town that might offer those things. We understand there's other services out there. But again, the best part about coming to the Humane Society is that the money that you're giving us stays there to help more animals. It doesn't go anywhere.
Tell us about some of the more unusual animals you've seen out there.
Well, I've seen a King Corso, which is a dog that is basically hairless, which is interesting. We've had some hairless cats that have come in. Next door, which is Wichita Animal Services, I've seen an alligator over there that they confiscated from a home. We see all kinds of stuff next door because they take everything. For us, it's dogs, cats, and small mammals, so you don't see as much variety of the animal. But we see just about every breed of dog, every breed of cat. I've seen Maine Coons that are just really big cats. They're 25, 30-pound cats. So we get a few of those in every once in a while. I've seen a baby hedgehog, which is something that I had never thought I'd see. We've had little baby rabbits running around. We care for them and take care of them.
Baby rabbits hop around.
They do. Well, kind of. they tend to try and get away from me as quick as possible, and they're not always hopping. They're trying to run in a lot of cases, too. Yeah.
Tell me about your employees and your volunteers.
They're fabulous. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without them, and I truly mean that. Every once in a while, you'll get somebody post something on social media that's a negative about one of my employees, and it hurts. Because we care about every animal that comes in there. We want to help every single animal that comes in there. And if we could, we would. I would not have somebody working there that didn't have a heart for animals and wanting to help every animal. And we probably adopt some of the ones that are the hardest ones to adopt out. We take them ourselves because we know they're going to be hard to adopt, and we take them and take care of them. And then my volunteers. I have 1,200 volunteers that give us 75,000 hours a year. We're the volunteer hours, and I would not be able to do everything we do without their help, too.
Special events, fundraisers.
Our biggest special event is Woofstock. First Saturday in October, I think it's October 5th this year, if I'm not mistaken, is the first Saturday. Event at Sedgwick County. We have a walk beforehand where you can walk a mile and a half with your dog, and then you get a breakfast with it. All kinds of people come out. We have demonstrations from the police, the fire department, the military come out. We have special things for you to do with your dog, obstacle courses, races, and then there's all kinds of booths out there. We have music going on all day. It's from 10 to 3, and it is just a great event every year.
Now, when the breakfast, do you get hash browns with your Alpo?
You get everything. The dog actually gets a special breakfast, too, believe it or not. Butler County Community College, their culinary school, comes out and makes it. And that's part of our agreement with them. And it's a really cool deal for them and a really cool deal for our people.
How many dogs and animals do you come through there every year?
Woofstock? There's probably there's about 10,000 that come through there every year. It's a big fundraiser for us.
Yeah.
And it's our only fundraiser every year. We don't do anything else ourselves.
Okay.
So we focus on that one event, and we try and make it as big as possible and as fun as possible. And our focus the last 2 years has been about trying to get more things for people to do with their pets while they're there. So they come out, they have a great day with their animal, and they realize, God, this was so much fun. I want to continue to do this.
Anything new and exciting in the planning stages for you?
For us as a shelter?
Yeah.
We just built an outdoor cat area for feral cats specifically,
okay,
so that we can adopt out feral cats. So if a business calls us and says, hey, we want a feral cat for our business to be a mouser, we have those available now. We are in the process of putting in a new play yard, which is our fourth turf play yard. That always allows us, no matter what the weather's like, to always have those animals outside playing. We do play groups with the dogs now, which allows them to play together and get some fun time together. And then just everything we do with our animals every single day and the kids, I really focus on, because of my background at Big Brothers and kids and also animals, we try and do stuff all the time with animals and kids.
All right. Sounds like you've got a lot of exciting things going on out there, and it sounds like the place is nice enough that if I have my in-laws coming in town, I'll ask them to see if I can...
You know, anybody that comes by, I will give a tour to,
I'm
Steve.
Not talking about a tour. I'm talking to let them stay there.
Oh, to stay there? I don't know if I have space for that right now.
Okay. Well, listen, Mark, it's always fun to do this, and maybe in a few months we'll do it again. What
I'd
do you
love
think?
To.
It's always fun to talk about animals and the Kansas Humane Society, and we appreciate your time with us this morning. Appreciate it. Our guest, Mark Eby, President, CEO, Kansas Humane Society. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2019. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.